Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 10th of August. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Fair Board member Greg Gomes. So, Greg, the fact that we've got Humboldt or horse racing at the Humboldt County Fair, what was it, 10, 12 years ago? Big question mark. A couple years ago, big question mark. What's the outlook this year's horse racing at the fair?
Okay. Even at this late date, it's on a crystal ball type situation, because basically the horsemen's weekly daily lives are evolving regarding if they have the horses to bring up. They might have them this week, but if they run them again, like Santa Rosa's racing right now, and they get claimed, they don't ownership, so it's a...
By claimed, somebody buys them?
Yes, correct, out of a race, correct. So as of right now, things look really good. We're pushing really hard this year to get... we had one quarter horse race last year. We lost the mules, do no longer race, and then the...
Was that a decision, or are there just no mules? Because I think that would be right up there with watching the board of directors race as far as demand by the audience to have that happen. Did it just kind of horse spun wither away?
Yes, it did. Actually, it wasn't really a profitable situation for the horse mule people, because basically they didn't run for a whole lot of money. So basically what happened was it just kind of came upon and then it kind of disappeared.
It just didn't pencil out for them.
Correct. So they kind of disappeared. And with we also lost the Arabians this year. We normally have some Arabian races out there. And what happened was they basically got a better offer in Colorado to race for more money. So the few Arabians around anymore are in Colorado right now racing, so they're not in Ferndale. So we're trying to push really hard to get quarter horse racing in Ferndale.
I was wondering, with the fuel prices going as goofy as they have, these horses don't fly in, mm-hmm. and they don't barge in. They're being trailered in. If that is showing itself in one way or the other, if you guys are having to increase the guarantees or just, here's $200 for gas, has it changed that relationship a little?
Definitely. I just want to back up a little bit. We had the Ferndale Jockey Club, we had a fundraiser back in the spring. And it was a huge success. It was a sellout. And what we did is we raised money there for the sole purpose of incentives for horsemen. So basically what we did is last year, if you remember, we had the GoFundMe page and we raised some money for the horse races. This year we had the fundraiser and the differential in the fuel prices. So last year we gave every trainer basically that tows in horses got a $250 gas card last year. This year, of course, with the increase, we raised that to $350. So basically we are trying to, and not only that, obviously, just like everything else, I was talking to some people yesterday. I mean, the bag of feed they used to feed the horses used to be $32. Now it's $42. I mean, all their expenses all the way across the board have gone up. Workman's compensation, that whole thing.
Yeah, so, and then all the normal stuff like the insurances. And
correct.
And whatnot,
so we did increase our gas cards as one of our incentives that we give away now at the Humboldt County Fair. We increased that from $250 to $350. So, yes, everything is increasing, and we are trying to increase our incentives to match the economy, should we say.
Do you increase the payouts? No, sorry.
Yes, actually we did. Actually,
really?
Another thing, and the second side of that is all of our purses went up $1,000. To attract the quarter horse racing, the CARF, who runs our meet, the California Association of Racing Fairs, runs our meet. They gave us a quarter horse stake race for $8,000. What we're going to do with that, some of that money we raised back in the spring, we're adding a $7,000 to that. So it's going to be a $15,000 stake race versus an $8,000 stake race. We're also adding $2,000. One of the ways we thought we could attract more horsemen was to run bigger purse maiden races. A maiden race, of course, is a horse that's never won a race before. So we added $2,000 to those races also. So we have to stay up with the times, because it has to make dollars and cents to these guys to come to Humboldt County. It's not like we're all right off I-5 and they can just
It's like anything else. We're not in between. We're way out in the boonies for these folks. You mentioned Santa Rosa. Do they have a regular schedule, or is this just the Sonoma County Fair when they have horse races?
Right, just like anything else. It's just like when Pleasanton ran, they were having their fair. I just got back from the state fair. They had their fair. It's a racing fair. So Santa Rosa is racing during their fair, yeah.
So it's not like Golden Gate Fields where it's a regularly scheduled weekly?
No, yeah. Santa Rosa is a racing fair also.
Is Golden Gate Fields still open?
They are closed right now, but they are always closed through the summer for the fair meets. They unfortunately open up our second weekend. So we only get what's called, and it's kind of hard to explain, but it's unoverlapped the very first weekend. We get a percentage of the money. We're called what the host, we're a host track. So we are running, and we get a percentage of money bet anywhere from Fresno, Northern California. We get a percentage of that money, and we also get a percentage of money bet wherever it went without the, throughout the country through ADW.
Because you're open.
Right, because we're open and we're the host track that weekend. Our friends at Golden Gate won't quite allow us two weekends unoverlapped, so they have to open up that second weekend.
Kind of, yeah, I mean, you can understand.
Well, kind of.
A little bit.
Not really, but yeah, anyway, yeah. I will leave it at that.
I see. Your influence and power doesn't go that far.
No.
Yeah. Oh, is transportation the biggest challenge to get the horses to Humboldt County?
It's basically the cost of transportation. And like I said, we're up here, you know, we're for another 4 or 5 hour tow. And the majority of these horses, when they come right now, they're in Sacramento and Pleasanton, they're going to ship into Santa Rosa. They're waiting basically for with the majority of the horses, they're waiting for Golden Gate to reopen.
Because that's the big time for them.
That's where they run basically literally through September all the way through the next June.
Now, do they stable there also?
Yes, they all
stable. So that's their home court.
That's basically the home base, right?
Okay.
So for them to move away from those and another 5 hours north, it's obviously more expensive to move home afterwards. And sure. Like I said, our purses aren't comparable to Golden Gate. I mean, the horsemen can go to Golden Gate and, you know, and
earn more money. Are any of the county fairs in the neighborhood? Or are they all kind of, this is summer and summer's just a little less lucrative for them?
We're the small fish in the big pond, let's admit, right? The Humboldt County Fair with a half-mile track, not as much money's bet on our track. So we're actually the only one that is not comparable with Golden Gate.
Sonoma County is Pleasanton,
Santa Rosa, okay. Fresno will be in October. Their purses are more comparable to Golden Gate. Ours are smaller because we also run, I don't want to say cheap, but less expensive. We run the lower tier of horses. I mean, you're not going to get a horse that's worth $50,000.
There's no Triple Crown
potential here. Correct. Yeah. So,
regardless of the genetics.
Right.
No, that's okay. You know, but if you had that kind, it would probably change the flavor of the fair anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, it'd just be totally different. And I would suspect that the cost for the infrastructure would be slightly increased as well.
Yeah, we'd have to knock out the high school, the county barn, to get a mile track, and we'd have to do a lot of things.
Yeah. Talk about some of those when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Gomes, oftentimes from Pacific Paper Company, but not this time. Greg, with the county fair and the horse racing, it is part of the nostalgia, certainly, of what Ferndale is, as well as what the races are. As you look at what the needs are today, because that facility is owned by the county, it's kind of a little different dynamic. What is the condition of the stables? I mean, we can see the grandstands. We can see some of the buildings. Most of us don't go wandering through the stables. And if we do, we get chased out. Have those structures received the maintenance and the attention that they really deserve?
Well, in my opinion, I'm a big horse guy, but no. But basically, they realistically have. We go through them every year. Our maintenance crew Talon, Bryce, the whole setup down there, they do an amazing job of going through. The horsemen are very understandable. Of course, as you know, we only use really those facilities for 3 weeks out of the year, right? And also, you know, so the barns are in pretty decent shape. Obviously, they got some nicks and scratches and stuff. And the horses do a good job, be honest with you. The horses do a good job on them, kicking in boards and all that type of stuff every year. So we go back through, fix that. They got roofs. We also bring in 100 portable stalls, which we rent every year because our hardwire barns aren't enough to carry what we, you know, want to have on horse population. So those are brought in. But basically, we go through, and it's amazing when you go and look at them. They might not look much, but when you get them with, you know, hopefully a couple hundred horses in them, it looks okay.
So when you look at how many horses you're going to bring in, what is the normal? Are those rented out during the year just for horses to stable, or is this just specifically for the races and the race season?
Basically, we do stable some horses, the people throughout the winter and stuff and things on the backs, on the side over by the arena. But generally, like the most of the horse barns you see are used once a year for the horse races when they come.
Is there any other use for the track? I know there's been motorcycles and BMXs and things of that nature, but would there be any opportunity for other uses for that track? It seems like it's sitting there waiting for something, what the something is.
Well, it's been in the newspaper, we've been trying really hard to bring the motorcycles back. Hopefully in 2023, we will be able to have a motorcycle race there. I believe it's going to be in September.
That's right. Stormy's been talking about trying to get something rolling there again.
Yeah, and so they came, I think, I don't want to say 4 or 5 years ago, it might have been longer, and it was a great turnout. Our track, I guess, I don't really know the specifics. That's not my lane, but the track is perfect for them. Everything, so we are trying to solidify, do things the right way, make sure we have the proper permits, everything like that, to have a motorcycle horse race. Or not a motorcycle horse race. A motorcycle race.
Now that brings up a whole different dynamic.
So, yeah, in 2023. So we'll see what happens. It's a work in progress.
Well, it's locked down either.
Right.
At this point. But
right.
It just, you know, when you have an asset, you want to maximize it.
Correct.
It's just kind of,
yes.
Is that way. And the same with the buildings and the facilities also. I mean, it's the same. If somebody said, okay, here's $1 million, do with it as you will, where would you put that?
I'd tear out the high school and move.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kidding. No, it's only one.
No.
Not 100. One.
I'm just kidding. We have a lot of deferred maintenance in our buildings that I'd like to fix up, like I said, to make them more rentable.
The primary buildings.
Yes, like the Blotty Hall, in the commercial building. We are trying to move forward, run the fairgrounds as a business as we should, and basically we know our expenses, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing when I first got on the board to see the water bill and the PG&E. I mean, it's just a big piece of property, right, with a lot of arms on it. So, and make it, you know, and try to promote our RV park. We're working on a grant.
That's really kind of like the little secret there that really makes things magical, isn't it?
I mean, through COVID and everything, when everybody was RV, I mean, that place was packed. And we get a lot of uses. We're trying to, you know, improve that. We just redid the bathrooms, you know, and we're working on a grant through the city of Ferndale to put some money in the RV park and just promote our buildings, you know? I mean, now
bring them up to speed and then be able to have them utilized.
Right, and be able to, you know, people to rent them and, like, you know, the turf room and everything else. So we are working hard and moving forward. Right now we're fair mode.
We're sure.
You know what
sure.
I'm saying? And that's something we've already talked about. We're going to start talking about that in September again and trying to promote the Humboldt County Fair, the fairgrounds.
The fairgrounds. Well, you think about it, you know, other than the flood season, okay, and then it's used by the county. There really isn't a place in the area for, let's say, a convention, I don't know, 500 people?
Yeah.
Yeah, there just really isn't. You guys have got the space. You don't have that infrastructure yet to be able to accommodate that. But then all of a sudden, maybe we get a couple more conventions here, too.
Right, and also we just had a huge, and again, it's not really my, I can't really speak, hope, but like we just had a huge dog show there a couple weeks ago. And they pretty much came in and took over the whole RV park and the fairgrounds. It was a great, what they need is space, right? And that's what we have for them, like you were talking about. So just things like that moving forward, promoting it, having the right facilities, make sure we can, the infrastructure to handle what's going on, and then promote it from there.
Well, and yeah, start doing the outreaches so you've got that network and people know that there's something here.
Right.
rather than, you know, something else. There are a lot of folks that will utilize the facilities during the fair. You know, you've got the train guys that are there, and you get the flower people, and you've got the animal people, you get the horsey people, all those different elements. As you look into the future, are there areas that the county fair could grow into if the infrastructure was there that just other county fairs have that we just don't?
That's looking in a crystal ball. I don't really honestly have an answer to that right now. Like I said, I've only been on the fair board a couple years. You know, I grew up in Ferndale.
Oh, you're not going to play the rookie card here. Come on, dude.
I grew up in Ferndale. I grew right across the field from Ferndale. I've been going to Ferndale Fair for my whole life. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best 2 weeks of the year, right? I'm in Ferndale for sure. But,
other than the last week of school.
But I don't, like I said, I really don't. We're going to try. I tell you what, we have, you know, Rich Latchey's our new fair manager. Not saying Catherine. I said I worked for Catherine. She was great last year, her man. But it's saying going forward, hopefully, I mean, that's some of the ideas we need to approach and talk about.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Gomes. Greg's on the Humboldt County Fair Board. What should people expect this time around? I mean, is it the same fair? Yeah, it certainly, the fair has changed. You know, when we were little guys, okay, it was one kind of experience. Now things have changed a little bit through cultural changes, economic necessities, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
What should people expect to experience if they haven't been to a county fair or been to the Humboldt County Fair, let's say in 10 years?
I think basically to be entertained. We have, probably everybody knows Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri is going to do a chili cook-off the second week of the fair on Wednesday. He's also going to cook lunch for the first responders on that Wednesday. So that's going to be a big day for us. Our entertainment, we have Mad Chad, who is a chainsaw jugglist.
You don't want a front row seat on that one.
No, and he's there the first week. We have a reptile show that's going to be there the whole week. We have some poodles coming in the second week. They're supposed to be very, very entertaining. Music. I think the biggest difference this year is the entertainment committee and Rich did a very, very good job of scheduling music. We have Chad Bushnell the second Friday night of the fair. And Ryan Rice is going to open for him. People are very, very excited about that. We have the very first Friday, it's called the Click Band. And it's a bunch of teenagers from Tahoe that I guess that are just very entertaining. I'm hoping I pronounced their name right. They're supposed to be really, really good.
So just different activities.
Different and music. Music every night. We have the Jesse Lee Band. She's supposed to be an up-and-coming. I believe she sang at the Redwood Acres Fair, I believe. And I guess she was great and people, so we brought her in. She's going to sing this last Saturday night of the fair. So basically, to be entertained, we have other things, of course. We have a new thing now, I guess, in the commercial building, axe throwing. They're going to teach you how to throw axes, I guess.
You know, that's right up there with bowling for me. not negative, but I always have visions of releasing at the wrong point, like in the backswing. You know, and I think we've all have seen the Ed Ames, Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the response is. I know it's something that's gaining in popularity.
Yes, but I would say if one wrap that up would be entertainment. I think people this year are going to come. We have more entertainment than we had last year. I think we have the full carnival back. Last year we didn't have the full carnival because it had to be separated because of COVID and everything like that. We're trying to fill the commercial building again and try to get that live again. We brought more vendors in there. The food vendors, I guess, situation is supposed to be really, really good. Of course, we're working really, really hard to have entertaining horse races for 6 days. The junior livestock section of down there, I guess, the animals. I mean, I guess the community just was outstanding last year, supporting the junior livestock.
Big tidal wave, yeah.
Yes. So, I think there's more animals this year, more kids involved with the fair, which is obviously a good thing because ultimately that's what it's about. And that's the second week of the fair this year, the junior livestock show. So.
Yeah. Hopefully people will be as generous rather than looking, I guess.
Correct.
I was talking with Fred Van Fleck, and he had indicated that the price per pound is just plummeted, and the kids, if they cover their costs, they're kind of happy these days.
Right.
So hopefully we'll get some folks deciding to tip significantly, I guess might be the way to think.
Yeah,
of it.
And like I said, it was such an outstanding auction last year. I mean, these people just gave, and the kids, it's such a great thing. Like I said, I grew up doing it. I mean, I grew up registered cows.
Did you do cows?
Fair. I did.
Okay.
And then I sold a pig at the fair from 8 to all the way through school. Yeah, and it's just a great experience. I mean, it's just some of the funnest times of my childhood, for sure.
Food. There are two definitions of fair food. One is you get a chance to taste a whole bunch of stuff you don't normally.
Right.
And the other is, not quite so complimentary. When you look at the food vendors, and you guys are trying to work that, I would presume that you're looking for a mix so that you don't have 25 of one kind and nobody else of any other options. How far do those people come?
I know we have a gentleman, and I can't remember his name. He comes from Oregon. They come from all over, actually. And basically, like I said, what we try to do is we like to have, 30 of them lined up if we had the space. So I believe what we try to do is, like I said, we try to get, if we have a vendor that's doing X, we don't allow another vendor, to compete.
A little bit of protection.
A little bit, of course, but what I'm saying? We don't want six hamburger, hamburger place stands.
And no cotton candy.
Right, or we have one barbecue place. I mean, that's kind of, they get the, so it, we try to want them to have, give everybody that choice, right? As many different food, carnival food or foods as we can.
And Fieri is not going to be going through.
No.
Okay, fine.
No.
I just want to make sure that nip that rumor in the bud. And his mom's not going to be selling any cowboy hats, right?
I don't think so.
Like the old days?
Are you asking if guy's going to be selling pretzels?
Could be.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's got the big attitude.
He will be there Wednesday. Like I said, he'll be there for he's going to cook in his trailer for the first responders. The first responders get him free that day with ID, and then he's going to be a judge and do the chili cook-off that afternoon at the grandstand.
Very cool. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Gomes. Greg, one of the cool things I think that a lot of people either don't take the time for, don't see that it's there, and I suppose it would be the area if I had that $1 million I would throw it towards, is the historical elements that are there. I think Friendship Square is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it could be such a cool place as an easy access for a lot of historical, whether it was Ferndale history, Humboldt County history, because I know the Clark Museum has got its physical restraints.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff that's stored around here that just doesn't get to see the light of day. Is there any thoughts in that arena to be able to play with some of the historical, or is it maybe just the wrong facility for that?
Unfortunately, I guess, I mean, we do have some historical things down there. Like I said, when you talked about Friendship Square, and that just got redone this year, the kitchen, it's beautiful. But anyway, you know, I think what's neat about Ferndale is it doesn't change, if that makes sense to you. I mean, we do have different things, but the Ferndale Fair has generally been the same way for years. Unfortunately, we're limited on space. You know, it's not like we can, okay, we're going to do something and put a museum up here this time and put a building here. And I mean, we just don't have the space for it. So it changes, but it stays the same is what I is maybe my answer to that question, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you can still work with what you got.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to knock the building down. You just hear the confines, let's work with it. Are the fairgrounds a historical? Has there been a historical designation?
Now, you remember, I've only been on the board for 2 years.
Well, you'd see if there was a plaque, I mean, hanging out around the horse
there
races.
There is historical. There is historical. I mean, if anybody knows it, and I don't know the year, but the grandstands used to be over where the football field is now.
Yeah, they were
the
moved.
High school. And it's actually amazing, if you think, and I don't remember the year, how that got moved. I mean, got moved back then. I mean,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, and so the grandstands is historical to me. Our tote board is historical to me. A lot of things around the fairgrounds that I remember as a kid, right? I guess, you know, and they haven't changed. And that
it would be nice to throw a little paint on them.
Well, we're working on that. But I'm saying is, you know, it's, and we try to change
even the turnstiles coming through.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that has been there. Now, there was a huge blow up, as you know, around the lighthouse and the lens. Has that settled down?
I believe so. I haven't heard anything about it, like I said. Okay. So,
well, I know the lens was supposed to be in a place that it hasn't arrived at yet.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, lighthouse geek is where I am.
Right.
It's like, well, guys, where are you? And it's just still in that limbo state. So it just, to me, that's part of it also is seeing it. Even if it's just sitting there and it's empty. Right. Seeing the lighthouse. Isn't it even on the letterhead, or it was at one point?
Well, yeah, it is. And like I said, and when I was a kid, the lighthouse worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it worked. And like I said, I just lived, I don't know, a quarter mile of throw and throw. But like I said, it worked. And I can't comment on the lens or anything. I don't know. Can't do it. I don't know anything about it. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want me on your board,
it's
then.
Not my lane. Not my lane, so I can't. I don't know.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of cool stuff.
Yes.
If somebody's not been there before, either they're passing through and they're hearing this, or they just have relocated, you know, we all know there's a lot of new folks in the neighborhood. What's the best day for somebody to show up if they've never been there?
You know, another thing I haven't mentioned yet, Cindy Olson does a great job on her second Saturday of our horse races, our Ladies Hat Day. And I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's amazing. The place is packed, and these ladies, I mean, we try to, you know, it's like the Kentucky Derby for us, right? I mean, these ladies, beautiful ladies are walking around with these beautiful hats and everything.
We have mint chocolate chip ice cream.
But anyway, yeah, it's really something. But basically, come to the horse races. I mean, if the horse races are a unique opportunity to see a half mile, one of the, probably the last half mile of tracks around. Our junior livestock show is, I think, amazing with all the kids and the sheep and like I said, just walk through the flower building and the art
and
building,
the art building
and things of that nature. I mean, the nice thing about, like I said, we would obviously want you to come more than once, but like I said, I just got back from the state fair, and it's like it'd take you 2 days to go through that. I mean, it's so huge, but it's beautiful. But I mean, our like I said, go make sure and you know, walk around the whole facility, I guess, would be, because there's a lot of neat things to see.
So show up early enough to be able to give yourself enough time.
Yeah.
Now, so far, you haven't said anything about the ice cream, and I don't understand that.
The ice cream, huh?
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
Well, that it's there?
The ice cream shop should be there, in the old, behind the old milk.
Oh, I mean, how many times have you referenced your kiddom?
Yeah. No, the ice cream
so
shop.
Far, you're just hanging out at the stables and the horse racetrack as a kid.
Yeah.
Now, most of us remember the ice cream.
Yeah. No, the ice cream, I believe, and again, not my part of the fair, but I believe the ice, there was some time.
Oh, it's always your part of the fair. Give me a break.
But we put it into sections, and everybody does their thing, you know, and like I said, I can't guarantee that the ice cream is going to be there, but I believe it's going to be.
Yeah. You see how you put yourself in the corner so easily?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Parking still out in the fields?
Yes, parking is $5. And if I could just mention real quick, If nobody hears the dates, our dates are August 18th through the 28th. Fair opens at noon every day, closes at 9 o'clock. Adults, $15. Seniors, 62 and over, $10. Children, 6 through 12, are $5. Parking's $5. We have the free kids' day on both Thursdays. And the senior day is the first Friday the 19th. So, yes, you'll have parked in the fields, everything else, that type of thing will all be the same. Come in by the lighthouse and start to enjoy.
This is frightening. I'll be 1 month away from senior. No, I'll be weeks away from being senior. 62. You guys are going to have to ramp that up to 72. Knock it off, dude. Thanks for coming by, Greg. I'm sure if folks have questions, they can either pop in at the office, call down there, see what's going on, and take it from there.
Yep, and thank you, everybody. Come down and enjoy the fair.
See everybody tomorrow.